Hi, and welcome to Living the Zoe Life, the God kind of life. This program is for those who are at the stage in their Christian walk where milk is no longer enough. I'm Reverend Faith Mailis, and I believe that there must be more to life than the grind of eat, drink, work, and sleep. Well, at least I believe so. And if, like me, you desire to thrive as the powerful spiritual being God always intended for you to be, then I invite you to join me as we learn the secrets God scattered throughout the Bible to help us live a successful and rich life in Christ Jesus, the Zoe life, the God kind of life. Hi, I'm Reverend Faith, and I'm delighted to have you back on the Zoe Life, the God kind of life. In the last couple of weeks, we have been speaking about spiritual warfare and how to combat the enemy. And today, as part of that series, I want to talk about the battlefield of the mind, or the battle of the minds, breaking stronghold and the towers that the enemy is trying to build in our mind. I believe the toughest enemy to fight is the one we don't know anything about. Satan will do everything in his power to prevent us from walking in God's good plan for our lives. One of the primary ways he does this is through deception, trying to bring all kinds of negative thoughts to our mind, insinuations, lies, doubts. And when you see John 8:44, it teaches us that Satan is a liar. He attempts over and over to get us to believe things that aren't true and that are not the promises that God has promised us. And that is why it is critical for us to learn how to renew our minds with the weapons of God's word. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind." We are in a spiritual battle, and we must fight with spiritual weapons. God has given us His Word as one of the main arsenals of war and of defense against the lies of the enemy. So what do we believe? Well, according to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So they are not fleshly, they are not in our own strength, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, not one thought, not two, but every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what is a stronghold? The Bible says, pulling down stronghold. What is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is an area where the enemy entrenches itself and takes control of our mind. You have probably heard of the term used when we're using this to refer to soldiers when they are fighting battles. They hide behind strongholds so that the enemy would not catch them. Well, the Bible talks about strongholds in our minds. These are areas of our thinking that the enemy dominates, areas where we are deceived. Now, how does he do it? Well, he comes against us by bombarding our minds with cleverly devised patterns of nagging thoughts. Have you ever had those? You're upset about someone and that thought keeps coming over and 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 over again. And you keep asking yourself, why am I thinking about that person? That annoying, nagging thought is bombarding our mind with suspicion, doubt, fear, reasoning, theories, worry, you name it. And all of those refute the word of God. I recently faced a terrible situation which left me shaken to the depths of my core. And this resonates really well with me because from that incident, my mind went into shock and into trauma. For the first time in my life, I was in a constant state of pain, hurt, anger, and deep sadness. And trauma is one of the things that the enemy will use to set up a stronghold in your mind. So once you have experienced that difficulty, the enemy will now come in and use that opportunity to sit in your mind and use that as a stronghold over your thinking, over your reasoning, and it will try and dominate all your thoughts. Another one is grief, and I'll go into that in a minute. But you know what? I tell you, my thoughts were so dark, very, very dark. I could not shift them. I went to bed with them. I woke up with them. I went to the bathroom with them. I went shopping with them. It became like a constant black cloud over my life. Have you ever been there? And if you can't get the enemy's thoughts of vexation or distress off of your mind, then you are in a battle. Over and over again, he agitates and brings discontent. You try to shoot down these bad thoughts and you're thinking of good things to do, and sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. It's a bit like, oh, should I have that cookie? No, but you know that cookie is not good for you. It's the 10th one that you shouldn't, that you've had today. And then you still manage to take that cookie. Every time you keep thinking, I shouldn't, you end up taking the cookie anyway because your mind said that you should have it. And actually, it wasn't a good thing for you. So this is where we are talking about stronghold. You've done your best to fight these battles, but the Lord has a word for you. The battles of your mind are not the battles to fight on your own. The battles of the mind are the battles for the Holy Spirit to fight. The Lord is offering us His power, His anointing, to take into our souls. The Holy Spirit Himself will use the mighty, ultimate power of God for our mind, and when we yield to Him, it will give us a clean mind. Don't think that you have to battle through alone. Turn your mind over to God. You know, the enemy will use any life event like grief to attack you. He will use your emotions in a moment of despair and turn it into depression. He will wait until you are weak and come and attack. He waited for Jesus to be weak to come after Him with the most palatable offer for any human being. He offered Him the world. In Matthew 3:16, we learn that John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon Him, Jesus. After Jesus received the Holy Ghost, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when He had finished fasting, the devil came, hoping that Jesus, in His weak condition, would bow down to Him. But three times Jesus answered and turned the devil back with the word, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Remember, Christ, in taking on human form, came into all the inabilities, limitations, weaknesses of the human race. As a man, He stood before the devil, and He could have given in like we do all the time, but He didn't. He resisted the devil with exactly the same power we can use to resist him in our mind. That is the power in the Word of God. The battle of the mind comes when we cease to use much of the Word of God as a weapon. Sometimes we don't use any of it for days. That is the reason why the devil can fill us with worries and anxiety and fear of the future, robbing us of our sleep. We must have the Word of God in our heart and use it against the thoughts that come to our mind. Maybe you're waiting for the fruit of the womb, and Satan is insinuating all kinds of things to your mind. Or maybe you're suffering from cancer and the enemy is using every insinuation to tell you that this is it, sapping your confidence with words like you're useless. You know, what kind of woman are you? You cannot have a child, or you should be ashamed. You are ashamed to your family and more. But what we need to learn to do is not to believe everything our mind tells us. Vet your thoughts. Just because you think something does not mean it's true. Does it align with what God says about you? That is what we should ask. But I want to encourage you with the story of Abraham. Abraham, the great man of faith, had battles of the mind, but he had to get rid of them because God needed to use him. God had promised him a son by Sarah. For God to perform the unbelievable miracle of giving him and Sarah a son when Sarah was 90 and he was 100 years old, Abraham had to use the faith of God, not his own. He had to rely on God. And being not weak in faith, the Bible says, he considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. Listen to this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had been promised, he was able to perform. And this is the scripture from Romans 4:19-21. That is why we believe that Abraham was a great man of faith, because he never doubted. The Bible says, having heard the promises of God, he never doubted. He believed. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He accepted that what God had said was truth, and that was good enough for him. Why did Abraham stagger at God's promises? He was strong in faith, giving God all the glory. Sarah staggered, though. She had battles of the mind. Hearing the angelic visitors tell Abraham that she would have a son, she laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Genesis 18:12. She couldn't imagine a 90-year-old woman having a baby. But when the angel rebuked her, Sarah denied that she had laughed. Abraham, however, believed God. The Bible talks of Abraham's faith, and the Lord will talk about the great faith and love of the bride. She will be the same characteristic that Jesus had when he was on the earth, the same personality. And we are the bride. The blend of the human and divine will mark our walk in this last and final hour. Just as the Holy Spirit blended with Jesus to make the beautiful personality of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will blend with your human being if you yield to him. You have to pass the test. God will call upon you to do his work, and he relies on you. And when you are weighed down with battles of the mind, you will not be able to do or walk in the purpose and destiny that God has for you. You have to pass the test. To move to the next level in God, you have to pass the test. See how the patriarch Job was tested. He was an extraordinary man of faith, a great example for our generation, and one that we can refer back to over and over again whenever we feel like the mind has taken control. Job is an extraordinary story and one of my favorite in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Satan, Job 1:8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" The Lord didn't say anything to the devil about Job's wife. He held up Job, and Job's wealth was destroyed. His children were killed, but Job at no point blamed God for the terrible things that happened to him. When tragedy struck, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, according to Job 1:21-22. Job blessed the Lord even in difficult time. Having lost everything, I can just imagine his heart broken from having lost his children, deep in grief at losing all his children, and yet being stricken with sickness, with boils all over his body, sweating and scratching his skin day and night. And yet Job did not deny God and did not accuse God and did not charge God foolishly. No. Job turned over to God and blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord when trouble overwhelmed him. He blessed the Lord. Turning to the Lord for every part of his life is what sustained him. He loved God and he knew he had done nothing wrong. And even if he had, he says, "Though you slay me, I will trust you." So even in times of tribulation and hard times, and when we don't have answers and we don't know what is going on and why this thing has come upon us, we have to trust God. Job's wife probably was all right before everything fell apart. But in her husband's trying hour, this woman said to him, In Job 2:9, the Bible says, "Said his wife unto him, Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." In her soul, she didn't have what she needed. She didn't yield to God. Job told her she talked like a sinner. Although he had to deal with cluttered mind, his wife as well as his friends who had come to accuse him of sin, Job kept his mind clear through the Spirit. Can you imagine everybody turning against you, even in your most difficult time, accusing you of having done something wrong, and yet you continue to believe that God will pull you through? Job kept his mind clear through the Holy Spirit. It drew every ounce of power and strength through the Holy Spirit. And he never doubted from one second that God was going to turn those things for his good. Even though the evidence were there, his children were gone. He lost a lot of his business and money and everything that he had. And his body had failed him. The evidence, the material proof was there. And yet, with all the accusations that the enemy brought to his mind, he continued to trust. The Holy Spirit could flush his mind, even in his terrible physical suffering, when everybody turned against him. It must have been the most enduring time. But it gave this wonderful prophecy, which today we use in church all the time. In Job 19, 25, 26, Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin warms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job knew where he stood with God. He said, "Behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." Oh, what faith. What faith traveled his soul. What faith. Job was ready to listen. The Spirit of God had found a stronghold in his mind, and the devil couldn't take it. The Lord blessed Job now more than he had blessed him in the beginning. Even wealthier than he had ever been. Job had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even to the 4th generation. Job was a blessing, even unto us today. He's a witness that God is going to stand by us in the most trying of hours. If Job, in the terrible condition he was in, did not yield to the lies of the enemy, that we would not see tomorrow, that we will not survive, that God is not going to help us, that our marriages are destroyed, that our health is not going to improve. If we yield to the lies of the enemy. But Job trusted in God. He kept his mind uncluttered so that God could deal with the problem. And so can you. And so we should. Have you been battling in your mind? Know that you don't have to struggle with the mind battles anymore. For the Holy Spirit has everything needed to work for your mind, so that your mind can work for Jesus. For the pure soul to the clear mind will flow all the greatness of heaven. And from the mind goes the greatness of God to the people. And it is sent forth in the voice, in the expression, in the hand, and every action, just like it was through Jesus. Your soul is sealed by the Holy Spirit with the blood of Jesus. And when that soul is made new, protected by the blood of Jesus, the blood abides in our souls for us to use at all times against the fiery dart of the enemy. In this, we have the Holy Spirit. And he plays a great part. He knows just how to use the divine power on our souls and on our mind. From the soul to the Holy Ghost flows divine love, divine grace, divine power, goodness and mercy to keep our mind clear at all times. And now finally, another way the enemy will try to attack and establish a stronghold in our lives is through seeking validation from others. We've all been there, whether it was in secondary school or at work or trying to impress a partner. We try to get validation from other people away from God. We know God has asked us to do something, but before we go ahead and say yes, well, we go and seek out other people's opinion. And these can be detrimental to our lives because we do not know if they're speaking through God or through the devil. God and God alone is the one who should validate who we are and what we do. Does my bum look good in this? You know that one, right? Yes. And why? Because God says so. Yes, your bum looks good in this. Because God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet the media and now Instagram is selling us a real new reality, a new standard of worldly beauty that was not what God intended in the first place. Who are you going to believe? You know, the question of validation is not if a man is seeking validation, but the question is where is he seeking validation from? To validate means to give official sanction, confirmation, or approval to it. What makes you feel like you have value and worth? We are designed to want validation. It is human because it gives us a feeling of significance. But a problem is that we try to get validation from what we think we can control or manage. We avoid mystery and things we can't control. We seek validation from people, from work, from friends. We seek validation from accomplishment and even our spouse. And those people and things become the barometer by which we measure our self-worth and our values. The treadmill of acceptance can wear us out. Always trying to please people or trying to control situations. We need to stop believing the values of the world, but believe the values of God. And stop believing the significance of the world in our lives, but believing the significance of the Word of God in our lives. Seeking validation outside of God will kill your heart, which is the wellspring of life, according to Proverbs 4:23. Or we try to control people in our world by killing them with kindness, being overly pleasing, and managing everything, micromanaging everything by ourselves, never asking anybody for any help, so that people will think that we are good. But we will be worn out, and this is not the will of God for our lives. God's love and acceptance is the key value and significance for any believer. And that journey of believing and having faith in God brings freedom and a renewed energy. God validates you. He made you in His image and delights in you, according to Genesis 1:27. He stubbornly loves you even when you are unlovable, according to John 3:16. God is for you and not against you, Romans 8:31 says. His plans are for you and they are good, according to Jeremiah 29:11. He has given you unique gift, talent, and strength, according to Romans 12:6. And this is validation. God really does love you and is crazy about you. And you are the apple of His eyes, Psalm 17:8. So what you need to do to battle against the enemy, to push back the lack of confidence and timidity, to rebuke the spirit of imposter. Find scriptures that speak to those areas, print them and write them down. Put them on the fridge, in the bathroom mirror, put them in your pocket, in your purse. Meditate on them and read them quietly in your heart and prayer. And let those thoughts and questions come up. Ponder the questions that you're asking yourself. And keep reading until the light of God present an answer to you. I'm convinced that you will begin to know God in a more intimate way through His scriptures. The Bible says in Psalm 37, 5-6, open up before God, keep nothing back. He will do whatever needs to be done. He will validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval of high noon. So remember, one, don't believe everything your mind tells you. Vet your thought. Just because you think it, it doesn't mean it is true. Does it align with what God says about you? Two, guard your mind from negative influences. Be careful what TV shows you watch and what music you listen to. Those things are gateways into your mind. Close every door of opportunity to the enemy. 3. Fix your thoughts on things above and not beneath. You must pray and read your word and think about and have conversation with God. If you prayed more than you worry, you would not have any problem. When the negative thoughts come, don't bother to fight it. Remember the cookie jar? Don't convince yourself that you're not going to eat the cookie. Just replace the thought with going into the fridge to get a drink. It's the same with your mind. Every negative thoughts that come, replace it immediately with something else. And that way, you will not think negatively. Think about flowers or trees or going to the park. You know what I mean? Just replace the thought. And 5, fill your mind with positive intelligence. What I call positive intelligence is continuing to learn. Spend time studying the word, learning a new hobby, upskilling on what you do already. Never stop growing and learning. Keep expanding your knowledge because we don't know it all. And you don't know when God is one day going to call you upon that knowledge to do something with you. So let us pray. Father, I thank you for the listeners today. I thank you for strengthening us through your word today. I pray that this week we will pay more attention to our thoughts. We will weigh them against your word and what you say about it. I thank you, O God, for making a difference in our life. And we rebuke every spirit of heaviness, every spirit of depression, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of grief. Oh Lord, overwhelming grief, Father, lack of confidence and feeling of worthlessness. We plant seeds of hope, of joy, of comfort and strength, boldness, power, and sound mind in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, O God, for the victory we already have in your name. And we exalt you above all others, for the name of Jesus is exalted above all else. Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for the victory we have over our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've been listening to Reverend Faith on Zoe Life, the God kind of life. If you would like to find out more information about our programs, visit our Facebook page at I'm Reverend Faith, on Instagram at Faith Mailis. And if you would like to revisit or hear these messages again, they will be uploaded on YouTube at Faith Mailis Official. Well, if you enjoyed this program today, do send me a DM. Let me know how the program is impacting you and what a difference it's making in your life. Until next time, take care of yourself.